Hey, and a happy Wednesday. Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday Sports Look here on Care Radio. It's so good to have you along with us. Tom Couch, Gus Couch with you, our Sport Look sponsors. Exchange Bank, Gerber Electric, Taco John's, and Hamada Wealth Management. Well, we flipped the page to February, and the calendar continues to be absolutely jam-packed with ball games coming up here on Care Radio. We'll be talking about the ones in the over-the-shoulder, but right now looking ahead, tomorrow night, and the reason we're here tonight is, it was supposed to be Benedictine playing tonight, but they got together with the folks at Central Methodist, and in the interest of everybody's safe travels, moved the game to tomorrow night. So we've got Sports Look here on a Wednesday night, Benedictine basketball tomorrow night in the Nolan, as the Ravens complete a three-game homestand. Central Methodist coming in, ladies game 5:30, guys game 7:30 tomorrow night. Friday night, we'll be in the MHMA Gymnasium as the Ravens are going to be playing host to Jefferson County North. Saturday afternoon, Benedictine at Mount Mercy here on Care Radio. And then next Tuesday, it'll be Atchison, Phoenix hosting Washington. And then a week from tonight, Benedictine in Olathe, they're traveling down to Mid-America. So tons of games, Gus. I know you love moving month.
Yeah, we're officially into moving month, so, you know, it's a lot of fun, and this is the exciting time of high school and college basketball.
Talking about exciting games, man, around the horn last night, schools were scrambling, they were adjusting tip-off times, a lot of JV games did not happen, some are being rescheduled, I think some are just a casualty of winter weather, but a lot of games did get played last night, and here at Care Radio, we traveled out to ACCHS, where it was Marhill Mount Academy on the road, and the Tigers taking both ends of that one out there last evening. Then we have other games going on around the area last night. You had Jefferson County North boys. They had zero issues with McLeod 69-25. You had Horton losing to Pleasant Ridge. Pleasant Ridge is good. They went 75-47. It was Valley Falls, the number, depending on which poll you look at, number one or two in the state. They got by Oskaloosa 82-55. And there were a lot of great games going on the girls' side also.
Yeah, look at the games in the girls' side. It was JCN ladies knocking off McLeod 43-38. It was, ACCHS over Morehill Mount Academy 45-23. What else do we have going on around the area? Pleasant Ridge knocked off Horton 36-33. And you had Valley Falls over Oskaloosa on the ladies' side 47-21. So a good slate of games going on around the area. You saw some fun ones, though, out in Effingham last night. And, you know, the guys' game especially, I mean, that was tooth and nail all the way at the end where the Tigers come away with a one-point victory.
And how exciting is it? I was visiting with, you know, some of the fans and some of the coaches after the game. The only time the score on the board really makes any difference is when the numbers go to zero on the clock. And that's how it went there because, you know, Morehill Mount Academy had led through the duration of the ball game until the last 14, 15 seconds. And the Tigers able to secure the big win. And looking at the NAKL on the girls' side, ACCHS, watching them last night, they are really good. They're 10-1 in the conference, 12-3 overall, and they're solidly on top of the conference. Jackson Heights is undefeated, but again, Gus, in the NEKL, it is not how many wins, or it's not how your percentage is, it's how many wins you have. Jackson Heights is 8-0 and 11-1 on the season. JCN is a 500 team, 5-5 and 8-6. So is Valley Falls, 5-5, 6-8. Horton, 4 wins. Pleasant Ridge, 4 wins. 3 for McLeod and Oskaloosa. Well, they battle hard every night. They're going to get one. Oskaloosa is going to get one. You heard it here first, okay? So Lady Tigers, Jackson Heights, these are two teams that are going to be very, very big handfuls when you get into substates coming up.
Taking a look at the Northeast Kansas League on the guys' side. Talked about how good Valley Falls is, scored a lot of points the other night. Well, they remain undefeated at 14-0. They are 10-0 in the Northeast Kansas League. Right behind them, you see JCN at 11-3 and 9-1 in league play. And what? I believe those two teams get together coming up here shortly. We're going to look at that upcoming schedule here. Pleasant Ridge at 10-3, 8-2 in the conference. You have Morehill Mount Academy, a 500 team, 7-7 overall, 5-5 in the league. ACCHS, 6-9 overall and 5-6 in conference play. You got Jackson Heights at 4-5 in the conference, Horton at 2-8, Oskaloosa at 1-8, and McLouth looking for their first win of the season.
But I tell you what, we've gotten a chance here on K-Radio to see. I'm looking up and down. I have seen all but, I have not seen Jackson Heights, but I've seen every other team on both boys and girls sides in the NEKL. These are some good teams, great coaches up and down on both the boys and girls sides. They do an outstanding job. This is a fun conference to watch, and right now you got, on the guys' side, a handful of teams at the top. Come postseason, I don't want to play Pleasant Ridge, JCN, or Valley Falls.
No.
None of those. I don't want to play any of those guys.
And, you know, you start to, you know, peek ahead towards some of those substates, and that's what's going to happen, is you're going to get some of these substates that, again, it's just like every other year. You're going to have some substates that you look at and you say, man, nobody really belongs getting through in that. And then you're going to have other ones that you look in and you go, it's too bad only one team is going to make it out of that.
Tell you what, we look at upcoming high school schedule. If you're, you know, you're kind of plotting your weekend and seeing, you know, where you might be going or who's you might be able to see, let me give you the down low on who is playing whom in the area on Friday night. You're going to find Horton down at Valley Falls. Atchison is going to, the Atchison guys are going to be at Wyandotte. You're going to have Jackson Heights traveling to Oskaloosa, the K-Radio game, JCN at MHMA. Pleasant Ridge will be at McLouth, and those are the games going on around the NEKL Friday.
You know, we were just kind of talking briefly about substates and how they're going to be coming up soon, and if you're sitting there trying to remember what substate is it that, you know, that I'm keeping an eye on, a lot of people around here, it's that Valley Falls substate. Okay, so it's going to contain Morehill Mount Academy, ACCHS, Jackson Heights, McLouth, Oskaloosa, Riverside, Valley Falls, JCN.
See, and Riverside's a team that sneaks up on you a little bit because you don't think of them a lot because they're not in the NEKL now and playing Big 7 competition. Makes them a real handful.
Yeah, I mean, they're a team that, you know, plays that Big 7 schedule. Then all of a sudden, you look up and they're sneaking into that substate. So they're kind of that unknown team when you come in. But a lot of those NEK teams, you know, you look on the ladies' side and you're going to have Jackson Heights, and you're going to have ACCHS in the same substate. I mean, there's two teams that, you know, are state-worthy type teams. You know, on the guy side, you're going to have JCN, you're going to have Valley Falls. I mean, you're going to have a lot of teams poking their head in there saying, you know, we would like to punch our ticket. And so it'll be fun. We'll break it down a little more as the weeks come. But, you know, we're into the first part of February. It is moving month. It's just a fun time for all of these games. And, again, you're going to see teams that might be middle of the pack. They're going to move to the upper pack. You know, teams will fall. And it's just, yeah, that time of the year. And keep an eye on all those teams.
The point is, make sure you go to that game. Because just because you think this team's going to win, that's not necessarily what's going to happen there. You want to be there and watch them.
And the other crazy thing is, time's going to get away from you. You know, don't keep putting off that, oh, I'll go out and see them next week. Because, you know, as we're sneaking up, we're into the last few weeks of, you know, regular season basketball.
Yeah, for the high schools, you know, there are, what, 6 games left? And for Benedictine, about the same number. Speaking of them, we're going to be back. More Sports Look here on K-Radio on a Wednesday night right after this. Good to have you back with us here on Sports Look as we continue on a snowy, wintry Wednesday evening. And are very, very glad to have you along with us. Gus, the Benedictine Ravens back in action over the course of the weekend. And, of course, again, we were supposed to have Raven games tonight. We did not because they have moved them to tomorrow night. So tomorrow night we'll be up in the Nolan Gymnasium. You're going to want to join us up there. BC is going to be hosting Central Methodist, two of the best teams in the conference at this point.
Yeah, right now the Lady Ravens coming off that huge victory Saturday afternoon against the pride of Clark coming from Dubuque, Iowa. But, you know, that was a huge game for Coach Folsom's ladies, right? You had a team like Clark coming in playing really good basketball. And for the Lady Ravens, they've had a good second half, but they've kind of had a seesaw second half of this season. So it was good for them to pull off a big victory there on Saturday.
Yeah, no question about it. And you mention, and fans around are going to know that Clark is just stunningly, stunningly good. And for the Benedictine women to win that and to win it in an exciting overtime fashion, fantastic, winning it 66-64 for Benedictine. You know, what games by Kennedy Nicholson, 13, Aaliyah Raines, it does an 11 for Natalie, but Skylar Washington, the reigning conference player of the week, 18 points, and it was a good one for Benedictine to take. I mean, not only does it tighten up the race for everybody, but it gives these ladies a big boost going into this final, well, what, couple, 3 weeks, because the season ends on the 19th of February.
Yeah, last week we talked about Kennedy Nicholson, and she's a player who, as a freshman, has stepped in, and, you know, a few injuries have happened, and they've relied on her a lot. I mean, she went out the other day, and of 45 total minutes, she played 41 of those, right? I mean, she came in, she gave you 41 minutes, she shot 5 of 7 from the floor, 3 of 5 from behind the arc, didn't attempt a free throw, still pulled down 4 boards and dished out 3 assists. Like, I mean, that is a great line for any player, let alone a freshman who, I'm going to tell you, I think coming into the season, Coach Folsom probably wanted to get her into the fold and get her some time. I don't think he really anticipated having to lean on her this heavy this early in her career.
And when you look at the conference standings, you've got to be careful not to be deceived by the numbers here, because when you look at her, she's, you know, you're seeing her minutes per game, you know, she's only 25-30, you know, her points per game, she's under 10, but what you've got to remember is she was not a starter until a month ago or less. Right. I mean, when Kearney ended up getting damaged and hurting and finishing out the season, you know, on the sideline, and she was called on as a freshman to come in, and then as you talk about the crazy number of minutes that she's putting in, her early season minutes and PT do not reflect what she is doing for this team now. So remember, it's what you're doing for me lately.
Yep. So there's a couple games going on in the Heart of America Athletic Conference tonight. Clark is going to be at Grandview, Mount Mercy at William Penn. Park and Mid-America have already canceled their game and said, we'll let you know at a later date when they're going to play that. But three games tomorrow night, Evangel at Baker, Culver at Graceland, Central Methodist here at BC.
So huge games, and of course, as we flip a page here and we look at the Heart of America Athletic Conference standings in the north side, Clark, now with a one in the W, or in the L column, they're still 12-1, and one game ahead of Grandview, 11-2, drops off pretty dramatically. Mount Mercy and Culver and Peru in the middle of the pack, Penn and Graceland bringing up the end.
You've seen both Clark and Grandview.
Yeah.
You talk about two teams that have, let's just say it, I mean, they punched their ticket.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
21-3 and 19-5, absolutely in the national tournament.
Which one's better?
Oh, I can tell you clearly in my mind.
Is it Grandview?
No.
Really?
I think it's Clark.
Okay. See, I just feel like Grandview has so many bigger pieces, and I feel like, for me, just, you know, strictly as an outsider looking in, I feel like Clark relies too much on, like, one or two players, you know, versus with Grandview, I feel like they're more like the Benedictine men, and they can spread it around. I mean, I get it. They want a lot of minutes and a lot of points out of Pisney, but, you know, at the end of the day, they can have more people beat you, I think, than Clark.
See, and this is one of those great conversations and great points of argument. If you want to sit around, you know, the stove and argue basketball, which is better? Is it better to have a couple of really, really, really good players and, you know, kind of an average team after that and ride the coattails of those stars? Or is it better, and that's what Clark is, or is it better to be a Grandview and have, you know, 8, 9, maybe 10 players on your team that are a B+. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you better with an A+ and an A and the rest C's and C+'s? Or are you better with a solid row of B's and B+'s?
I mean, that's Central Methodist, right?
Yeah.
Like they've got two or three
they got a couple
fantastic
stars.
Players,
yeah.
Right? And then it just drops off after that. Like, if they have to go to the bench, they're in trouble. I think there are a lot of teams, and I think that's what's interesting that we've seen over the last handful of years around the conference as they've gone to Division One, and then the two divisions have now, you know, combined and consolidated. The mentality behind that, because I feel like 5 years ago, we're jumping the rails a little bit, but John Henry would bring in, like, two studs. Okay? The rest of the team was just kind of whatever. And now he's like got not quite those, you know, great players, but he has some pretty good players and more of them.
Okay, you know? So this reflects exactly in the recruiting systems of like Clark and Grandview. Clark has gone out and they've scoured the country, and that's where they pulled in, you know, one good player from way out of way here and another good player from way out of way there. Grandview, I would say of the 17 girls on that roster, two of them are over 70 miles from home.
Right. Yep.
I mean, that's just, they're all Iowa. They have one Wisconsin girl and one Missouri girl, I think, and the rest of them are absolutely all Iowa born and raised kids. And you're going to go to the South Division, and you're going to see the same thing with Benedictine, Central Methodist, and Mid-America all tied for first place in the South. But you got to look at that overall when you're going to go into the national tournament. Central Methodist, 19-4, Benedictine, 17-6, Mid-America is 12-9, all of them 9-4 and in first place in the conference. But what does Central Methodist do? Their star player is from overseas, okay? And they have brought in a couple of other players from very great distances. For Benedictine, I mean, again, they are, for the most part, not entirely. I mean, you're going to look at this thing and see differences, but, I mean, they're recruiting the Kansas City area. They're recruiting nearer to home. They got, you know, the player from Wichita. I mean, but they're not reaching, you know, out and trying to pull in that one big, big star. They're filling the roster with good, high-quality, and high-character players from nearby.
Yeah, I mean, you could basically draw a circle from, you know, Oklahoma City to Omaha over to St. Louis, and about everything inside of that yep. is where Coach Folsom feels comfortable. And I say that because, you know, he's gone to Oklahoma and brought in a few players. You go down to...
He's gone to Maple Plain, Minnesota.
Yeah, Anderson County with, you know, some of these players you've got Meriden sprinkled in there. I mean, like, he does good at recruiting close to home, but then, yeah, you're right. He will pull in, you know, a Minnesota or a kind of outside of the geographical footprint. But, yeah, some of these other teams, like, you look at Central Methodist, they're not interested in finding a whole lot of Boonville products, okay? No. They're more interested in getting, you know, the – back in the day, it was the Alaskan players, right?
Correct.
I mean, Dejanay from Alaska, mm-hmm. you know, he's been really comfortable going overseas and finding, you know, a handful of really good players. Got the transfer in from the University of Hawaii. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's interesting, I guess, if nothing else, to sit back and look at how these teams take completely different approaches to get to the same end goal.
Now, you talk about the end goals in the national tournament. We mentioned Clark and Grandview are in. 21 wins, 19 wins, with still half a dozen to go. Central Methodist has 19 wins. They're going to go in. Benedictine at 17 wins, I would say, you know, they're a very solid shot at making. I think that they're in a good spot.
Okay, this sounds kind of out of the box, but
yeah.
With BC last year getting in, I think that maybe expands where I'm kind of at on do you get in, you know, because last year, I'm going to tell you, I thought they were maybe even down to a 20-30% chance to get that phone call. And then they got it. And so I think maybe that expands it because, too, we're so used to it being Division One, and now it's Division One and Two. So you've cast a little wider net, and you're letting more teams in at the end of the day. I think the Lady Ravens are easily in. But I know where you're going with this next
yeah.
comment.
Yeah. So that all said, is there another team going in? And
no.
You got to look at the underachiever in all of this is Missouri Valley, who's 13-9. And they're, what, sixth place or something in the South Division? I mean, their conference record is horrible. So it begs the question, are they playing really poor out-of-conference teams, or is the conference that good? What's up with Missouri Valley?
Yeah, I think some of it is not playing a great non-conference schedule. And I think they're such a seesaw team, too. I think they're up one day, down the next day. The team that I can't figure out is Mid-America. They're 9-4. They're 12-9. I know they play a great schedule, right? Like,
really
they're going to step out of conference, and they're going to play Shawnee State, and they're going to play Freed Hardeman. They're a lot like KU. They're not really going to back down from an opponent, whether they win or lose. They're still willing to play that game. I think Mid-America is the fly in the ointment that could be the South Division, because if Mid-America somehow finds a way to win the South and get one of those bids into the national tournament, somebody somewhere is staying home.
Somebody gets bumped out of this. They're not going to bring five, is what you're saying.
No, I think they're five here, but I just think that some other team, you know,
oh,
ACAC school, you know, like an Avila or something, maybe having a great year, is going to get left at home because, again, that's what happens.
So you think this conference can get five in?
I do.
Okay. Well, it's going to be interesting to see. And on the road to that, we have Raven Ball tomorrow.
Because I also can't bet against John Lewis when it comes to tournament basketball, right? Because nobody does it better than him.
No, and, you know, if tradition and history mean anything at all, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, we've got a lot more to talk about. We got the Benedictine guys and tons more stuff. Sports Look on a Wednesday night continues. Good to have you with us on a Sports Look Wednesday. Gus Counts beside me, Tom Counts, and Gus, the Benedictine Ravens will be back home tomorrow night. We'll have them here on Get Ready. We've just talked about Lady Raven basketball just a little bit, and for the Benedictine men, well, I don't know if the losses get, you know, much more heartbreaking than their last one, as they had Clark, you know, within reach and could not quite reel him in. Clark able to secure a 75-72 win over the Ravens up in the Nolan Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you think back to that game on Saturday, and, you know, for Coach Moody, I think that's one of those tough losses, especially a home loss. You got to win your home games and split on the road, right? I feel like that's kind of where you've been. It was nice to get Jaden Bristol back. You also introduced him in. Picked up 29 minutes, 11 points along the way, hit 75% of his free throws. But then you look at a guy like Matt Austin, who played 16 minutes, didn't get a shot to fall for him, and that's one of those things where, you know, he's going to go out another night and hit 7 of 8 three-pointers, right? I mean, that's just what shooters do sometimes. But, you know, in that game, you're going to look up and down and say, we let some situations get away from you.
Right. And for the Ravens, I mean, let's be very candid. You're not looking for excuses, but you do need explanations and understanding. They do have that injury issue with Jaden Bristol. We watched him out before, but if you think he's at 100%, you're giving him, you know, you're stretching it way too much. I mean, he was still out there struggling. He's a hard-nosed guy and just gutting it out there. And he's going to get better, and his health is going to be – he's going to be okay on that sore ankle. But he's you know, he was not at 100%, and the same for Matt. Matt is struggling a little bit with that, but these things will be worked through. And you mentioned it, and they are going to be fine. It's good to see Cruz back, you know, getting some PT at 13 points. And the Ravens are – I tell you what, you know what they really are doing? They're developing – the deepest bench in this conference is they're playing, you know, 11 guys now. And I always like to see Hunter Schneider get out there, because when he's up against especially big guys like they had for Clark, and I'm telling you, Jacob Fierce is a big, big, big guy. Hunter Schneider's not backing down from anybody, and it's good to see him out there getting PT for the Ravens as well.
You know, but for me, I think the one player that I've been really impressed with, Ahmad.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, I feel like Ahmad Lewis was a guy who last year came into the program but just really couldn't find his spot on the floor and find really how they wanted to use him. But then as you turn around and look what he's done over the last couple games, I feel like he's really stepped up and been a nice addition to this program, and they're finally finding, you know, a good place for Ahmad to fit his time in.
Yeah. There's a big learning curve, and people don't understand, I think, sometimes, you know, how difficult it is to get, you know, into the rhythm of a team, to get that chemistry working, to get the timing and stuff all down. And it's not an overnight, and maybe it's not a single year process. And you're exactly right. I think Ahmad has done some spectacular things for this team.
You know, take a look at the Benedictine men over the last three games. I mean, it's been kind of heartbreaking, right? You go back to Saturday the 22nd, up at William Penn, playing the number one team in the country. At the time, they were the number two team in the country. Led throughout that game, right? And then come up just a little short, losing finally 79-73. You turn around a couple nights later, come home with Evangel, lose that one 58-53. Then to Clark on Saturday, 75-72. So it was a rough week of games that you lost by, you know, just a shot here or there.
Yeah, yeah. So you lose three by what, 10?
Yeah. I mean, that's a rough week, you know? And for Coach Moody, he's not going to make any excuses because he's going to say, well, we need to win those games, and those are the games that we're going to have to find a way to do it. But at some point, that's difficult because the teams in this conference are so good, and you hear them all the time in the post game talk about their opponents, how good they are, how little rest you get. And, again, we're going to look at the standings here in the heart of America, but no undefeated teams left. I mean, these guys are going to beat each other up for the next 3 weeks.
Well, in the north side, Penn is going to beat up everybody. Okay, they're 12-1. They're 21-1 on the season. They may be the best team in the nation. They're number one in the polls. Are they? Could be. They're right there if they're not.
Yeah, you know, and you know what drives me nuts about Penn? I feel like Penn and Grandview football, I can say the same thing about. Like, the year you say that that's the best team they have and then they'll underachieve, and then next year you're like, they're not as good as they were last year, and then, like, Grandview makes the national championship game. Last year, I thought Penn was the best team in the country, and they got trounced, right, in the round of eight. So, again, though, I think that Penn is by far the best team right now in the North Division.
Well, you go to the South Division, and I have never seen this. I've never seen it jammed up like this. You've got Evangel, top spot right now in the South at 8-5. Then you have five teams, one game behind, tied for second. And the winner of the Benedictine game with Central Methodist tomorrow night will be first or second in the division. The loser is going to be sixth. You're going to fall from second to sixth with one loss here. So this is huge because, again, 8-5 Evangel, Central Methodist, Park, Benedictine, Baker, Mid-America, all 7-6.
Yep. And then you have the team who I think has vastly underachieved this year, and that's Missouri Valley.
Yeah.
Right. Coach Lance has a talented team. Went over there earlier on this season, and Benedictine lost to Missouri Valley, right? And that team should not be 3-10 right now. But again, it's so crazy, all these 7-6 teams right there. I mean, you're only a game back, but you're also a couple games out of, you know, being in a bad spot.
Yep. So it's going to be a great one. It should be very, very exciting basketball. Benedictine tomorrow night here on K-Radio. If you get a chance, pop on up to the Nolan. I will guarantee you it'll be cold outside. It'll be nice and toasty and pleasant inside the Nolan Gymnasium. Hey, well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. More Sports Look right after this. Happy to have you with us here on KAIR-FM. Wharton, Atchison, Gus, Chiefs fans are still, I think, stunned, in shock, in disbelief, in dismay. Kansas City loses last Sunday to the Bengals.
Yeah, there's a lot of descriptive words you could use for that game.
By the way, the FCC prohibits us from using some that I've heard.
I was going to say, most of them that I've heard, yeah, you can't use those. Okay. Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
All right.
Play before half.
Uh-huh.
Does the play before half become as big as do you send Gordon? Because I think it might. Like, how many people have argued, don't you just kick the field goal, or do you go for the touchdown right at the end of the half when Kansas City, you know, swings it out into the flat to Tyreek and they get tackled and they go into half, you know, without getting any points?
My problem with the play. Okay, first of all, I'm old school. I take three. Second of all, if you're going to go ahead and you're going to score that touchdown and think that you could just, like, close the door on him before halftime, you throw the ball into the end zone.
Right.
Okay.
This is
my thing. It's always been my thing. Why do you throw a 7-yard pass on 3rd and 8?
Right.
Okay. You can't do it. It's ridiculous. It's just bad business. You cannot depend on picking up that last yard. Fast as Tyreek Hill is, he's not very big. And a big linebacker hits him, particularly two big linebacker hits him, he's not going to advance that last yard. He's not going to go into the end zone. He didn't get into the end zone. And ultimately, at the time you say, well, you know, they're still way ahead. They're going to be fine. No, I think that was an emotional switch for both of these teams. And I think at that point, Cincinnati said, hey, we can stop them when we need to, and we're going to bounce up. Even though the Chiefs got the ball to begin the second half, we're going to bounce up and feel good. And for Kansas City, it's like, man, we missed a real opportunity here.
Yeah, and you'd have to talk to people who are way smarter than I, football minds, but You know, because I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the points. I'm like, the field goal did nothing for me. The difference between 11 and 14 was still two possessions. I mean, and that's how I looked at it. I'm like, I didn't have a problem with going for the touchdown. I didn't have a problem really kicking the field goal. I was like, you know, but going for it, I really thought was going to be the knockout blow. Because
it would have been.
Because you would have scored that. You get the ball back. You know me. I like points, points. And you're going to say, well, then if that's your mentality, you kick the field goal, you get the three, you score a touchdown, you get the seven after the half, and all of a sudden it's a 10-point swing and they didn't touch the ball.
And at 13, that is the greatest difference between scores that anyone has ever come back from in an AFC Championship game.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of soul searching, right? I'm sure Andy is still talking to himself about that.
You think? I'm sure he's probably hasn't slept yet.
You know, I think that you're going to. And the other thing that is tough about this, because everybody says, well, as long as you've got, you know, 15 at quarterback, but the problem is next year's team's going to be completely different, right? Because Patrick's money is going to finally start hitting the books. You're going to have to make some decisions. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if you see some coordinator changes, right? Like, we already know that your linebackers coach, Matt House, is leaving. He's going to LSU to become the defensive coordinator at LSU with Brian Kelly. I don't know if Spags is safe. After a game like that, I really don't know if Spags is as safe as, you know, he probably thinks. I wouldn't be shocked if Bieniemy, I don't know that he gets a job, but I wouldn't be shocked if he just says, hey, this job obviously isn't going to get me another job. I need to move and figure out something else. Because I honestly think that some of Bieniemy's problem, you know, trying to become a head coach, is that, well, you got Andy Reid as your head coach. So I think he needs to go somewhere else where maybe he has a lesser head coach or a less offensive-minded head coach. And if he can do it there, then people are maybe going to give him a shot. I mean, it's a tough break there. So your quarterback's coach, Mike Kafka, is now a finalist for the offensive coordinator with the, you know, Minnesota Vikings. So, again, anytime you make it this far and you fall short, it's not a, oh, we'll be back next year. Because, again, that ball might go a different way next year, right? So it's tough when you get this close and you don't make those.
Yeah, and Kansas City, you know, when they had gotten into that hot streak after they, you know, they stumbled through the first third of the season, the defensive line stepped up. You had guys making plays on the defensive line, and the playoffs that quit.
Yeah.
The Chiefs know. And I think it's not because the guys aren't good enough. I just feel sometimes the motivation is there, and sometimes it's not. And sometimes they want to go out and do it, and sometimes they don't. And I say that because that's what's happened.
Right? Chris Jones, in all of his post-game, you know, postseason games, what, he has zero sacks? You know, and if he would have sacked Burrow on that one late in the game, that changes the game. You win the game. I'm just going to say it there. You know, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce had as many tackles Sunday as Frank Clark. Do you know that Frank Clark is the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL? Like, you can't be paying that guy that kind of money and he's not making plays on the biggest stage. That's why I think, you know, you saw it today. I'm sure people have seen Jaron Reed, your nose tackle, tweeted out,
gone.
Hey, farewell. But I'm okay with that because I think Colin Saunders is just as good. I think Derek Nandi is just as good. I think Jaron Reed really underproduced this year. I think you're going to have to find a way to bring back Melvin Ingram because I felt like, honestly, Sunday I felt like Melvin Ingram was your best defender.
He was your best defensive player.
Yeah.
From the time he came to this team.
And so I think you got to find a way to maybe bring him back. This is going to be wildly unpopular, okay?
Go for it.
Tyrann Mathieu. Don't pay him. It's not worth it. Move on. Find me a safety in the draft. I know that he brings a lot to the locker room, and that's wonderful.
But I've read Tyrann's stuff, and he doesn't expect to be back.
Right, and I just think that, you know, Kansas City's just basically going to be like, hey, we don't have the money. We'd love to have you here, but the money doesn't work. But again, I don't think Tyrann did anything for you this year. I thought yesterday of this analogy is that Tyrann Mathieu right now reminds me of the last few years of Eric Berry. Like, you really wanted those first couple years of Tyrann or those first couple years of Eric Berry. Those are gone. Like, they're just not there anymore. Don't pay a guy for something that he did in the past. You got to pay him for what you're expecting him to do. Again, I think the Chiefs move on from Tyrann Mathieu this offseason.
Do the Chiefs franchise tag anyone or transition tag anyone this year? Who would it be?
Yeah, okay, so if they do, it's going to be Orlando Brown, your left tackle. But can I tell you, ever since bringing him over in the offseason from the Ravens, I thought he was okay, but I don't think that I ever looked over and said I feel comfortable about my left tackle position. I don't feel as comfortable about left tackle as I do about left guard with Joe Tooney. I feel comfortable there. I feel comfortable at center with Creed Humphrey.
I love him.
I feel real comfortable at right guard with Trey Smith. I just don't know that, you know, my left tackle is that good. He's okay, but I think that you gave up too much for him. Maybe you franchise tag him and you trade him. I think that if the franchise tag happens, it's going to have to be Orlando Brown.
Well, the Bengals are going to be playing the Rams at home in the NFL championship game because Garoppolo gave it away.
He accounted for a touchdown.
Yeah, he did.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Garoppolo is great in the playoffs when he doesn't pass for a touchdown or run himself for a touchdown. And the problem was, in that game, the Rams were able to come back. They beat the 49ers. It'll be, the first time in 20 years that the Rams, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or Ben Roethlisberger weren't in the playoffs. Right? One of those four things have happened all of the last 20 years. So, hey, you want something new? You want something fresh? That's what you're going to get this year. The Bengals are playing hot football right now. I think 2 weeks off, though, maybe doesn't do them any justice, right? Like, I think when you're hot, you want to keep playing. And right now, I think that time frame being off, I think this Rams team has mortgaged everything for this game, and I'd be shocked if it's much of a game.
And you're like the fans who are going to the game because you're mortgaging everything for a ticket right now?
Ooh, man, that's a hot ticket right now.
$6,000 for the cheapest nosebleed ticket, last I heard.
And can I tell you? I would go just for the halftime performance.
Maybe.
Like, I don't care about the game. I'm all about the performance.
Hey, talk about the performance. Kansas, after just, I had a really hard weekend, okay?
Oh, man, wasn't it?
Beat the guys lose, and then Kansas got embarrassed by Kentucky, and then the Chiefs game. So it was a tough sports weekend. KU bounces back against a very good Iowa State team and wins on the road last night, and they did it without Agbaji.
Yeah, so Kansas, you know, Hilton's not an easy place to play, right?
No, it's very, very formidable.
And, you know, playing a little shorthanded, but KU was able to find a way around it. And sometimes I think your teams are better off when that one superstar is out for a game because you kind of figure out how to adjust and how to adapt. And I thought a lot of guys stepped up in that game. And, sorry, I was crossing that one out. So I think when it all came down to it, though, Kansas able to knock off Iowa State last night was a huge game.
And Kansas is going to turn around and have another great opponent on Saturday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. KU will be back in Allen Fieldhouse hosting number 8, Baylor.
Yeah, also Saturday, 7 o'clock, Kansas State going to make the trip down to Fort Worth and take on the Frogs.
Yeah, and then they're going to flip around and, you know, then Kansas is going to play Texas at Texas on Big Monday.
So does this go to prove that the Big 12 is, as you always have said, a basketball conference?
Oh, let's look at how many nationally ranked teams in basketball, how many nationally ranked teams in football, how many teams are going to go to both of the dances out of, you know, how many Big 12 teams are in the tournament, how many Big 12 basketball teams are going to be, you know, in the, let's call it even the 32 or 16. I got to tell you, yeah, the Big 12 is a basketball conference. Say what you want. Hey, I'm going to say that we've got some great hoops coming up. Go ahead.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by Brady?
Yeah.
Were you?
Completely. Okay. I thought he was going to hang on for another year. I didn't. Maybe another 10. Who knows? But yeah. I was very, very surprised about Brady's retirement.
I think what didn't surprise me is after the last game when he was talking, he was different. He wasn't quick to say, yes, I'm coming back. He said it was going to have to be more of a family decision, which you've never heard him say that before, which made me wonder, you know, if he's going to go home and let Giselle continue to bring in the bank. Because that's where the money is coming in,
yeah,
that family.
Yeah.
Like, Dom's doing well, but she's doing much better.
My question is, what is he doing next year at this time? Is he behind a microphone?
You know, I was hearing somebody talk about that, and they said, you know, that
I'm not sure he's
Tom's just not likable enough to be behind the microphone. They said, you know, he'd be much better as a politician just because he's like, you know, cutthroat. He needs to be doing something competitive. And so, you know, I don't know. I just don't see him being the next Tony Romo.
Ever watch
Drew
pickleball?
Brees.
He could play pickleball.
There you go.
I'm just saying. I mean, there's aggressive. Cab Radio sports schedule, jammed up. Tomorrow night, Benedictine at home with Central Methodist. Friday, JCN at Moore Hill Mount Academy. Saturday, Benedictine at Mount Mercy. Next Tuesday, Washington at Atchison. Next Wednesday, BC at Mid-America. Get them all here on Cab Radio. Go to mscsports.net. Check out the schedules. Follow your favorite team. We got to thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, Taco Johnson Exchange Bank, our fantastic sponsors, and let you know that until tomorrow night from the Nolan Gymnasium for Gus Kautz, Tom Kautz, so long, everybody.